Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
I do too.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you sing it?
You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and today's date is July the 17th, 2019. And well, as I said, welcome once again to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And those who join us on a regular basis, you know, if you've been joining us, you know the slogan for this show. If it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities. To utilize Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the unemployment and underemployment among young Black men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Radio Talk programs such as Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. It's also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you're listening to live today over Blog Talk Radio from your nation's capital. We are trending over Facebook and Twitter. Also, it's brought to you by Skyden Communications Network.com. Skyden Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production online and traditional, newspaper production online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing, publishing, and speaker bureau management. And for contact information, you can contact Skyden Communications Network.com. Once again, you can contact Skyden Communications Network.com. You know, if you join us on a regular basis, that call in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call in number is 646-668-2948. Now, you know, you have to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you will be in our green room and we want to bring you right on into our studios. We don't have any scheduled guests today, but I think I have a very, very full agenda for my listening audience, and you are welcome to join me once again by simply dialing our call in number at 646-668-2948. But we want to step right into our topic today. And our topic on the top of our hour will be Sanders and Cortez move to declare climate crisis an official emergency. Now, this information, this particular article, you know, if you listen to us on a regular basis, you can join us and follow this news documentation, because we don't make this up. You know, we do something called homework. So what we did, we have downloaded this article for your convenience at positivechangepc.com. Once again, that's positivechange, P as in Paul, C as in cat.com. You can log on to our website. Please stroll over to our news and events tab, which will be left to right, the top of our website, and you'll see news and events. Please click on that, and you can stroll right down, and you will see the article, which was written and authored by Emily Holden in Washington. She writes with The Guardian here, and this is a July the 8th, 2019 article. Exclusive Democrats to introduce resolution in House on Tuesday in recognition of extreme threat of global heating. This was the press conference that was held here in Washington. Sanders and Alexander Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and Pamela Chavala data shows nations are on track to limit the dangerous heating of the planet significantly enough. A group of U.S. lawmakers, including the 2020 Democratic presidential contender Bernie Sanders, are proposing to declare the climate crisis an official emergency, a significant recognition of the threat taken after considerable pressure on environmental groups. Alexandria Cortez, the Democratic Congresswoman from New York, and Earl Blumer, a Democratic Congressman from Oregon, plan to introduce the same resolution in the House on Tuesday, their offices confirmed. Sanders spokesperson President Trump has routinely declared phony national emergencies to advance his deeply unpopular agenda, like selling Saudi Arabia bombs that Congress has blocked. On the external threat of climate change, Trump insists on calling it a hoax. Senator Sanders said will be proud to partner with the House of colleagues to challenge his obscurity and have Congress declare that we all know we are facing a climate emergency that requires a massive and immediate federal mobilization. Climate activists have been calling for the declaration as data shows nations are not on track to limit the dangerous heating of the planet significantly enough. The UN has warned the world is experiencing the UN is experiencing one of the climate disaster every week. A new analysis from the economic firm Rodham Group today finds that the U.S. might be archives less than half of the percentages of population reductions it promised at the countries in the international agreement. Senator Legislative Council draft the COPY Act was KAT 19097. This was done on July 8th, 2019. The title, expressing the sense that Congress, there is a climate emergency which demands a massive scale mobilization to halt, reverse, and address the consequences of causes. Now, all of this information can be seen and read in its entirety from the website. The way they've broken this thing up from with numbering the bill from 1 to about 41 items, I won't be and will not take the time to read all of that the way it's broken down. 16 countries and hundreds of local governments, including New York City, last month have declared a climate emergency already, according to the advocacy group Climate Mobilization. Activist groups, Extinctions Rebellions, has said that the declaration is a critical first step in addressing the crisis. Bloomberg's office said he decided to draft a resolution after Donald Trump declared an emergency at the U.S. border with Mexico so he could purchase building a wall between two countries. In Congress, Democrats in control of the High House might have enough support for a resolution, but Republicans in the majority of the Senate are not likely to approve. Now, this is the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde scenario. Now, they're playing, sign up for the green light email to get the planet the most important stories, okay? The resolution said that global warming causes human activities, is caused by human activities which increase emissions and greenhouse gases, has resulted in climate emergencies that severely and urgently impact economic and social well-being, health, safety, and the national security of the United States. It then goes on to say, Congress demands a national, social, industrial, and economic mobilization of the resources of labor in the United States on a massive scale. Trump and his administration have questioned the science showing that humans are causing climate crisis. They have downplayed the risk of the rising temperatures and gutted government efforts to limit heat-trapping pollution from power plants, cars, and other resources. Despite the record, the Trump touted the U.S. and environmental leaders in Aspen on Monday at the White House, even in the resolution passed, was signed by the president, will not force any action on climate change, but advocates say similar efforts in Canada and the United Kingdom have served as a leveraging point, highlighting the hypocrisy between the government's position that the situation is an emergency and an individual decision that would exacerbate the problems. Several of the Democrats running for the presidency have rolled out, particularly a full blueprint on cutting emissions. Nearly all have said it's a top issue. Sanders has a history of prioritizing of the climate crisis and has previously suggested specific public policy options, but he has yet to release his own proposal. As a crisis, the crisis escalates. In our natural world, we refuse to turn away from the climate catastrophe of species extinction. For The Guardian, regarding the environment, is a priority. We give reporting on climate, nature, and the pollution in the in its presence as it deserves stories which often go unreported by other media. At this pivotal time of our species on the planet, we are determined to inform our readers about threats, consequences based on scientific fact, not political prejudice and business interests. More people are reading and supporting the Guardian's independent investigation of journalism than ever before. And unlike many news organizations, we have chosen to approach that allows us to keep our journalism accessible to all, regardless of where they live or what they can afford. But we need your ongoing support to keep working as we do. The Guardian will engage in the most critical issues of our time, from the escalating climate catastrophes to widespread inequality to the influence of big tech and, on our lives. At the time, factual information is a necessity. We believe that each of us around the world deserves access to accurate reporting with integrity and its heart. Our editorial independence means we set our agenda and our voice on our own opinions. Guardian journalism is free from commercial and political bias and not influenced by billionaire owners, shareholders. This means we can give you voice. Those less heard explores rather other turned away and rigorous challenges in those in power. Now, that's a mouthful. It's like I'm reading a commercial for this particular group that reported on this. Now, I'm going to go back through this bill since we got time today. Number one, the title, expressing the sense of Congress that there is a climate emergency that demands a massive-scale mobilization halt, reverse, and address its consequences and causes. Whereas in 2015, 16, 17, and 18 were the hottest years on record and the warmest in 5 years on the record have occurred within the last 22 years. Whereas global atmospheric concentration of the primary heat triggering gases of greenhouse carbon dioxide have increased by 40% since pre-industrial times, about 280 parts per million to 415 parts per million, primarily due to human activity. Including burning fossil fuels, deforestation at a rate of 2.3 parts per million annually and must be reduced by more than 350 parts per million, and likely lower if humanity wishes to preserve a planet to that on which civilization developed, to which life on Earth is adaptable, according to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration climate technologist Dr. James Hansen. Whereas global atmospheric concentration of the greenhouse gases, including methane, nitrous oxide, and hydrocarbon dioxide, have also increased substantially since pre-industrial times, primarily due to human activity, including burning of fossil fuels. We currently, climate science and real-world observation and climate change impacts, ocean warming, acidification, floods, drought, wildfires, and extreme weather demonstrate where we're having dangerous impacts on human population and environment. Whereas in 2018, National Climate Assessment found that climate change due to global warming has caused and is expected to cause additional substantial interference with growing losses in infrastructure, property, industry, recreation, and natural resources, agricultural systems, human health and safety, and the quality of life in the United States, whereas the National Oceanic and Atmosphere Administration has determined that climate change is really increasing the frequency of extreme weather and climate-related disasters, including drought, wildfires, storms, and including predictions, whereas climate-related natural disasters have increasingly exponentially over the past decade. Costing the United States more than doubling the long-term average during the period of 2018 and 14, the total cost of natural disasters that the period is approximately $100 billion per year. Whereas the Center of Control and Prevention has found wide-ranging acute and fatal public consequences with climate change that impact communities across the United States, whereas the National Climate and Health Assessment of the United States Global Change Research identified climate change as a significant threat to the health of people in the United States, leading to increased 60 countries and hundreds of local governments, including New York, last month have declared emergencies already, according to advocacy groups and climate mobilization. Activist groups, Extinction Rebellion has said declaration is a critical first step in addressing the crisis. Bloomberg's office has said and decided to draft a resolution after Donald Trump declares an emergency at the U.S. border with Mexico that he could pursue building a wall between the two countries. In Congress, Democrats in control of the House might have supported the resolution, but Republicans in the majority in the Senate are not likely to approve. The resolution says global warming causes human activities such as increased emissions, greenhouse gases has resulted in climate emergencies that severely and urgently impacts economic, social welfare, benefits, health, safety, and national security of the United States. It then goes on to say Congress demands a national, social, industrial, and economic mobilization of resources, labor, and the United States at a massive scale. Trump and his administration has questioned science showing the humans are causing climate crisis. They have downplayed the risk of temperature, gutted governmental efforts to limit heat trapping populations from power plant cars and other sources. Despite the record, Trump touted the U.S. as an environmental leader in a speech on Monday at the White House. Even as resolutions passed, as were signed by the president, it would not force any action on climate change, but advocates still familiar with the efforts in Canada and the United Kingdom have served as a leverage point, highlighting the hypocrisy between the government's position and the situation in an emergency and an individual decision that would exacerbate the problem. Several of the Democrats running for president have rolled out partial full blueprints for cutting emissions. Nearly all have said that the top issue, Sanders has a historically on prioritizing climate change and has previously suggested specific policy options, but has yet to release his own proposal. Now, as the crisis escalates in our nation's world, we refuse to turn away from climate catastrophes and the species extinction. For the Guardian, reporting on environment is a priority. We are giving reporting on climate change, the nature and population, prominence it deserves, stories which often go unreported by others in the media. That is the pivotal time of our species on the planet. We are determined to inform our readers, threats, consequences. Now, I just read this piece to y'all. I hope that this is hitting home with folks, because this is real, folks. These natural disasters, these hurricanes, these fires, the excessive heat, you know, people, we catching it, as they can say, H-E-L-L right here. On the physical plane, we ain't got to leave here and go nowhere. You know, if you are of low and moderate income, and you happen to look like me, a black man in America, and we got all these titles we call, we've been referred to as people of color, African Americans, Africans in America. However you choose to define yourself has consequences. I didn't make the rules. I'm just telling you this based on laws. So as we begin to look at these issues around the, can we, we'll use the, what they call recovery. Some folks refer to it as reparations for Africans of African descent who live in this, on this plane, because a lot of our folks have a problem with understanding that we're in the same boat. It may be a different boat, but you're in the same boat. And connecting with who you are on a global level. So as we do on this show, we're going to take a pause for the cause, and we're going to be right back. And as we say to our listening audience, you know, don't be no stranger here. Now, that calling number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that calling number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the calling number. Because, as we said, we intend to try to take a pause.
Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a record basis, you know that this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC. And our slogan has always been, it hasn't changed, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African American solar installation and development companies to address the economic effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, to utilize black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the unemployment and unemployment among our young African-American men locally and nationally, and also to educate the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. It's also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLFHBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you're listening to over the World Wide Web, over Blog Talk Radio from your nation's capital. We are streaming via Facebook and Twitter. And you can get more information about that initiative by logging on to our website. Now, it's also brought to you every week by ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com, which specializes in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, and speaker bureau management. And for contact information, that's Scotton, S-O-C-C-T-O-N, that's Scotton, S-O-T-T-O-N. ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com, all one word. It's a mouthful, but once again, that's S-C-O-T-T-O-N, CommunicationsNetwork.com. Now, we always like to take the time and make the time for you, our listening audience, so you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Before we change gears and topics here at this segment of the show, but we're going to look at another piece of legislation that's already being considered on the Hill, and I thought that our community, the African American community, need to understand when I say to you that renewable portfolio standard legislation is going to be passed all over this country, that it's on its way. I'm not making this up. Senators target 50% national renewable energy standards by year 2035, zero carbon by year 2050. Now, this is legislation that's been introduced by Senator Tom Udall, Democrat from New Mexico. On Wednesday, he introduced the bill that would establish a 50% renewable energy standard, RES, across the United States by year 2035. The bill would establish annual targets starting in 2020, require renewable generations for utilities based on their size by 17.6% of the U.S. electricity was powered by renewable energy at the end of 2018, according to the Energy Information Association. The Center for 35 states and the District of Columbia have renewable portfolio standards, but only 11 of these plans meet or exceed a proposed 50% federal standard and any state and renewable portfolio standard that needs, that meets or exceeds the federal RES could opt out of the standard. Now, this information was reported by Catherine Morehouse, who writes for Utility Dive, and this article is dated June 27, 2019. We normally like to read that information at the beginning of the reading of an article, but I always like to give props where proper is, and say give to Caesar what is Caesar's. So give the props where the props is supposed to be given to the journalist that wrote this informative article. Deep dive. Though more states are successfully implementing aggressive clean energy standards, pushing the similar standard at the federal level might be more difficult and divided a House and the Senate in a divided House and Senate. During the midterms elections, every state legislation in the country except Minnesota shifted to a single party control, and every state that has passed clean energy mandates in 2019 is controlled by Democratic legislatures. Now, folks, that's deep. Let me reread this, because I didn't make this up. Deep dive, this is an insight. Though more states are successfully implementing aggressive clean energy standards, pushing a similar standard at the federal level might be more difficult with a divided House and Senate. During the midterm election, every state legislature in the country except Minnesota shifted to a single party control, and every state that has passed a clean energy mandate in 2019 is controlled by a Democratic legislature. Thus far, the bill has four Democratic sponsors and one independent. Senator Utah, along with Senator Martin Hendricks, Democratic from New Mexico, Sheldon Whitehouse, Democratic from Rhode Island, Tanya Smith, Democratic from Minnesota, and Augustus King, the first from Maine, the RES has gotten the GOP vote and the Senate votes before. Udall Press Secretary Annie Aldoff told Utility Dive in an email, including Senator Susan Collins and the Republican from Maine. Under the bill, each new kilowatt hour of renewable energy would be eligible for renewable energy credits from the federal government and secretary that would be required to submit a plan to Congress aiming to for zero emissions by year 2050. The bill would require utilities the capacity for larger than 1 million megawatts to ramp up their renewable energy generation by 1.5 annually starting in 2020, 2% through 29, 2.5% by year 2035. The rate is cut in half for utilities and the annual output smaller than 1 million megahertz. Solar, wind, occidental, tidal, geothermal, energy, biomass, landfill gas, incremental hydropower, and hydrogenic energy, all quality and renewable sources under the bill. Another energy standard was included in the House of Representatives last month that would allow low or zero emitting resources such as low carbon coal and nuclear to qualify. The Senate drew wide support from clean energy and climate activists, and a particular environmentalist cheered its consistency in the finding of the United Nations Environmental Plan on Climate Change, which reported humans must reduce emissions by 40% by year 2010 levels and by 2030 in order to avoid average global temperatures rising 1.5 centimeter above the pre-industrial level, which scientists say could bring cataclysmic, catastrophic environmental challenges. Okay, that's a mouthful. We need to do this, yesterday said the union concerned scientist, UCS President Kendall Kennemill. In a statement, people around the world are dealing with dangerous high temperatures, rising seas, deadly wildfires, torrential rains, and devastating hurricanes. The climate-related impacts are only getting worse if carbon emissions continue to be updated. And no one of the easiest and most cost-effective way to cut carbon pollution is with renewable energy. A UCS analysis found that the bill would cut natural gas and coal energy by 38% and 97%, respectively, lead to $34 billion in net savings to customer energy bills by slightly higher electricity bills, more than offset the lower natural gas bill and reduce power sector emissions by 46% by 2035. The question I have, ladies and gentlemen, I have been working since 2015, working trying to get our HBCUs, our historically black colleges and universities, to build large-scale solar farms on their properties. I'm talking 20, 30, 40, 50 megawatt farms. We're talking about large energy production facilities. Not only is this going to be an income generator, which is going to offset their energy costs, but they can sell this energy out in the marketplace. The issue is, what is prohibiting our HBCUs from moving forward? And people are telling me it is the financing. I say it's not, because I've sat down with people who have the money, who will finance the projects. The issue is getting these projects green-lighted by decision-makers at these universities to say go. I've been there, and we've attempted to do that, working with Howard University and the University of the District of Columbia. So anyone who wants to join me on this topic at this time, in this show, you're welcome to do just that, because we know for a fact that we beat the drum every day around these issues. If this much development needs to take place, why aren't our historically black colleges and universities moving on these issues? I am engaged working on a project right now with Livingstone University at Salisbury, North Carolina. And in terms of putting everything together, these physical farms need to be built. The rooftop infrastructure at the schools needs to be addressed ASAP. And then we need to start talking about sustainability programs at these universities, how they're going to sustain these things. And they have to all be incorporated. I get it. But we need to be moving on dealing with this construction for private black landowners whose families have land. There's a primary time to be moving to talk about building large-scale solar farms on your property. And if you have a interstate running through your property, building an electric vehicle large-scale charging hub, which can be powered by that solar farm. This is the vision that we've laid out for some of our clients that we work with in the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. And we struggle, we move every day trying to make these things a reality, trying to get the our organizations, the owners of some of these companies, just to get back to you when you have financing and you have real projects can become a problem. Just opening the doors of communications, because we as black folk are so caught up into, you know, who is he and what does he have to bring to the table. If I can bring the financing to the table and the project to the table, if you need the project, why can't you get back to me to let me know if you can do the project? That's all I'm asking. So as we drill down on why we're not moving and we're not doing what we need to be doing, it comes right back. As you say, you look in the mirror and you see your worst enemy. It becomes you. So that's why we started this platform. It's called Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. Because this is going to impact on us whether we get our stuff together or not. So as we like to, as we say, take pauses for the causes and change a few gears, we're going to do that again here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. Because as I'm looking at the various articles that we've put together, and looking at the target dates for these renewable portfolio standard laws, as they are passed and as they kick in, as I beat the drum around the whole Omnibus Act of 2018 that was passed in Washington, D.C., which was the most aggressive renewable portfolio standard law in the United States of America, trying to reach 100% in the nation's capital by year 2032. And to look at the financing mechanism that was put in place by passing surcharges on to the gas, electric, and water bill of D.C. ratepayers in order to capitalize a green bank at $256.6 million, $151 million more than they need. Now, I had the privilege of seeing Director Tommy Wells last night at an event that we're going to talk about a little more after we, as we say, after we take a pause for the calls, and we're going to come on back on the other side, because I think we bring.
Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And those who join us on a regular basis, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, as I am reading from articles that you will be able to find on our website by logging on to Positive Change, PC.com. Stroll over to News and Events, click on the link, and you can stroll down. Senators target 50% renewable energy standards by year 2035. Zero carbon by 2050. Folks, I ain't making this up. I'm telling you what Congress is doing right as we speak, okay? Now, states with clean energy standards at or above 50%, I'm getting ready to give you the, as a little boy say, Udall is currently in the conversation with Senator Leslie Murkowski of Alabama and Joe Manchin, Democrat from West Virginia, chair of the ranking member, respective of the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources, on getting the bill and a hearing by its committee, EG&E News reported, states with clean energy standards above 50%. Washington State, 100%. Carbon-free by year 2045. California, 60% renewable energy standard by 2030, 100% carbon-free by 2045. Nevada, 50% renewable by 2030, 100% by year 2050. New Mexico, 80% renewable energy by 2040, 100% carbon-free by 2045. Colorado, 100% renewable by 2040, not legislatively mandated. Maryland, 50% renewable by 2030. The District of Columbia, 100% renewable by 2032. New Jersey, 50% by 2030. New York, 70% by 2030, 100% by free by 2040. Maine, 100% renewable by 2050. Hawaii, 100% renewable by 2045. States with renewable portfolio standards below the 50% GPS. Arizona, 15%. Montana, 15%. North Dakota, 10%. Iowa, 10.5%. Kansas, 20% by 2020. Oklahoma, 15% by 2015. Texas, 10,000 megawatts by 2025. Missouri, 15% by 2021. Minnesota, 31.5% by 2020. Wisconsin, 10% by 2015. Michigan, 15% by 2021. Illinois, 25% by 2025. Ohio, 12.5% by 2026. Pennsylvania, 18% by 2021. South Carolina, 2% by 2021. North Carolina, 12.5% by 2021. Virginia, 15% by 2025. Rhode Island, 38.5% by 2035. Delaware, 25% by 2026. Massachusetts, 15% by 2020. New Hampshire, 25% by 25, Connecticut, 48% by 2030, Indiana, 10% by 2025, and Utah, 20% by 2025. Folks, that's literally nothing, especially South Carolina. So when you begin to look at all of these states and look at the impact that the gas and oil and coal industry, how it impacts with the economies of these countries, of these states, with these renewable portfolio standards below 50%, you get the picture. It tells you everything on who controls the market share with nuclear and those traditional energy sources that have dominated the marketplace, which have been coal and that's gas and natural gas. Somewhere I remember Funkadelic saying that America eats its young. This is pure madness, folks, that we have the same energy that we use every day to exist, taking us off the planet. Now, they got the technology, but are those folk who control the gas and the oil, those industries, who are, without question, major players in the economics on the planet, are they willing to keep the planet and just shift over to renewable energy, which they can do and still get paid? But I don't know. As I said, we don't make the news. We report the news here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And, you know, I'm sort of enjoying the show today, even though I don't have a, as you say, scheduled guest, because we're able to hit upon a lot of these topics that I've had scheduled to be discussed on the show, but we had guests. So we always like to give our guests more than what we scheduled them time-wise to discuss. So we've got some other real pertinent issues that we're going to shift to after we take another what we call pause for the cause here on Solar Now. And
life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Once again, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. You can join us by dialing 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. And as I've indicated, we don't have a scheduled guest today. This has been about the first time in the last 4 weeks we haven't had a guest here on Solar Now in the Future with his economic impact on Black America. But I have had some topics that I wanted to really touch upon and look at how one economy affects another when you're talking about solar energy. Now, I had the privilege of being at a seminar yesterday that was put on by the organization STEM for US. Is headed by Talib Kareem. He's an attorney and an engineer who heads the organization. And he has, in fact, put together an organization where they have been working to get legislation passed by Congress where they can get over $1 billion invested in STEM education for our historically Black colleges and universities and junior colleges and high schools. And I went to it because cybersecurity is a very, very, very important issue when it relates to utilities with daily breaches that they have by hackers that are hacking these computer systems. And if you want to deal with the big old bad wolf, you shut down the electrical grid infrastructure with some bad malware where you can't get no power. You can't do nothing. You can't get gas. You can't go to ATM. You can't do a whole bunch of things if the power goes out, because these computers get shut down because they're powered by energy, and that locks us down because we live in a technology society. Make no mistake about that, okay? Now, this particular workshop that they held last night at the D.C. Sustainable Energy Utility called DCSEU, which is here by Mr. Chair Tarbu, who has been a guest on this platform, Solar Now in the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. I had a privilege of speaking with Mrs. Donna Cooper, who is the very, very capable and brilliant, beautiful African-American sister who is the president of PEPCO here in Washington, D.C. And, you know, I always give out my kudos to this sister because she is one who did not forget where she hailed from. So I know that she's trying to do some things, but I know that, you know, because you're running things, don't mean you're always in charge of everything. So I get it, sister. So believe me, I understand, because I've sat in some meetings with you. I watched the spears, and it wasn't on y'all. Y'all were dealing with this thing. I'm looking at some of these stakeholders in this electric vehicle charging infrastructure piece when y'all were putting those proposals together. I watched a lot of those stakeholders who were at the table, and how it all of a sudden it became PEPCO's main issue. I understand PEPCO gets paid because I send money to PEPCO. We pay the utility bills here. So I understand that PEPCO get theirs every week because I'm trying to get some solar on the rooftop over here where I'm at, over here in Ward 9. But they told me I didn't reside in the proper zip code to qualify, even though I meet the 60% AMI to qualify for the program in Prince George's County. It's called the TMI program, But if you live in zip code 207, the first three digits, I'm in 209, I can't apply even though we pay the same property tax. Please, don't. I won't let my blood pressure go up. You know, I've had this discussion with my senator, Cardin. I've had it with my congressman, Congressional Brown. I've had it with my city council representatives. I've been to Annapolis about this. I don't understand why they don't understand. So when I come on this show, we gonna keep it real, because everybody thought when they were in D.C., they thought everything was so much green over here in Ward 9. But I got news for you. And I got the memo. So, like I said, we gonna keep this here flowing, because like I was saying, I was at an event yesterday. Excuse me for changing gears, but I just had to get that in for our folks out here in Prince George's County. Mrs. Eric Betterman, who heads the Office of Sustainability, but she can't come on this show because, you know, she got to get permission from somebody other than herself. So, you know, that's how we sort of deal with that, and we'll keep it moving. But anyway, we've put the invitation out to her. That's her. That was her decision. But, you know, we open these airways up to everybody. So that's for Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. We won't talk about you. We'll talk to you if you decide to take up on the invitation. But if you don't come on the airways, I can't do nothing but talk about you, because I can't get answers when you don't want to make yourself available to the black community through this format, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And we are streaming via the World Wide Web over Blog Talk Radio from your nation's capital. Also, you're streaming over Facebook and Twitter. So it's not like we're trying to make this a secret. We don't want nobody else to know, okay? So welcome to Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And as we were saying, we were at this cybersecurity piece that was put on by STEM for us. It was very, very, very well professionally done. The presenters were all good people, and they gave some very pertinent information that I wish the black community of Washington, D.C. could have heard. But I was the only press there covering that, so I'm going to sort of share with you some of the things that were discussed. Mr. Beverly, who is one of our public service commissioners, real dynamic brother down there at the Public Service Commission, he talked about how many credible attacks that the D.C. government gets every day as it relates to the electrical and utility system in the nation's capital. Okay, because a lot of times these people can get a few, they might get them mixed up, but they're in the right location, because D.C. government and the federal government, they're all downtown together, y'all. They're right there together. So D.C. catch it from people attacking the federal system and mistakenly make try to put some of that malware up in one of them systems, and they will tell you, please send them some money in Bitcoin. You know, they want it in Bitcoin. So now you can send your money and we will send you the key. Now, if you think this is not real, check with the mayor of Atlanta and the mayor of Baltimore. This just happened. These attacks are real, folks. But see, the dirty little secret is You don't know who has a plan for this. You, the ratepayer, because the Federal Regulatory Commission has oversight. Now, I spent time, and I asked this question last night to Mr. Beverly. I said, Mr. Beverly, I said, there was an article that was published in Utility Dive that spoke about the Federal Regulatory Commission having hearings where Duke Energy was fined $10 million for cybersecurity breaches. And there are a number of utilities that have breaches every day, and it's costing them millions of dollars to hire professionals that they have to hire to bring them in to try to keep the system from being compromised. I said, who pays for that? He said, you do. I said, what? He says, that's a new soft drink. You do. I didn't say Mountain Dew. He said, you do. You pay for it. The consumer. If you want to know who do, you do. We're talking about millions of dollars, folks, that these utility companies are having to shell out to hire comparable cybersecurity professionals, and they got over a million jobs out here that they need trained young people. Our young people need to be going over to the D.C. Infrastructure Academy up there on top of that hill and beating on the doors and say, if you do not have cybersecurity courses, will you please, please implement them, and I will be the first one in line to take them. Because they've got a ton of demand out here for cybersecurity people that know what they're doing. They have to hire these folk. They don't have no choice. Now, since we're talking about supply and demand, you don't have the trained people, but the charges are already amped up. And that's what I was asking Mr. Beverly as a public service commission, and he made it real plain. He said, look, it's called a cost of business. It's a cost of doing business. He said, look, the utility company is competing against governments who are trying to shut down our grid. We ain't going to pass that on to the utility company. The people who get the ultimate use of the product, which is energy, they're going to have to pay for it, not the utility company. So the utility company, they are passing these costs on to you, and that is driving up your gas, water, and electric bill. Now, let me break it down. Let's use Ebonic. Gas, water, and electric bills. And if you got a little southern tang on it, yeah, I'm from South Cackalacka, right there, Two Shoe Town, right there, south of the border. As soon as you hit the South Carolina line, you blinked your eye, country town, you missed it. Dillon, South Carolina. Got it, but you can't get to Myrtle Beach without going through there, okay? And don't believe all them country folk crazy down there, because they got plenty of room in that county jail. So just slow down. But getting back to my show, since I was showing, giving y'all a little about my historical upbringing, I want to let you know that when you are passing these costs, you're driving up some fundamental bills that are already got compliance fees on top of them for short for all the D.C.-based solar. Now you're going to capitalize a green bank, $256 million. Now you got millions more that will be passed back on to the ratepayer because of cybersecurity threats. So if you want to know why your gas, water, and electric bill is so damn high, it ain't got nothing to do with how much you use. It's just the fact that you do use. It's like you a junkie and you really, it ain't your fault. This how they got us hooked up. So we're going to take a pause for the calls, and we'll be right on back here after we and change a few gears, because I got another topic, man. It's hot, and we got to talk about this one here for this, on this last 15 minutes. It's real hot on here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. That call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone after dialing the call-in number. Now, I indicated before I took that slight break, and that break got by so fast, little boy said, I need to take another one. But I wanted to drill down on an article that hits close to home. It's entitled, DC Council. Listen quite carefully now. D.C. Council gives final approval to tight limits on Airbnb and other home-sharing companies in the District of Columbia. This article is authored by Robert McCarthy and Peter Jameson, November the 13th, 2018, in the Washington Post. You'll be able to find it at positivechangepc.com. Click on News and Events. The D.C. City Council voted unanimously Tuesday to impose some of the tightest limits in the nation on Airbnbs and other short-term rental companies. If signed by Mayor Bowser, Democrat, the measure would prevent D.C. property owners from renting out second homes on a short-term basis and bar them from renting spare rooms or apartments in their primary residence for more than 90 days per year when the host is away. Bowser has said she thinks the bill is too restrictive, but has not threatened to veto it, partly because it passed with enough votes to override a veto. Airbnb swiftly denounced the council's actions. The D.C. Council recklessly voted today in the latest example of misleading tactics used to pass fiscally irresponsible home sharing policy. Airbnb spokeswoman Crystal Davis said in the statement, "The council managed to accomplish this seemingly impossible today, simultaneously depriving D.C. residents of $64 million in supplemental income annually and then sending them a taxpayer bill for $104 million. Let me read this statement. The D.C. Council recklessly voted today is the latest example of misleading tactics used to pass fiscally irresponsible home sharing policy. Airbnb spokeswoman Crystal Davis said in a statement, "The council managed to accomplish this seemingly impossible today, simultaneously depriving D.C. residents of $64 million in supplemental income annually and then sending the D.C. taxpayers a bill for $104 million. Dave and Airbnb will remain committed to ensuring home sharing is protected in the nation's capital, but did not specify what action the company would take. The company has previously warned it might take its case directly to the voters in the 2020 ballot initiative. On Tuesday, Airbnb lawsuits against the city of Boston over a law that contains some provisions similar to those in D.C. legislation. Supporters of the crackdown said it was necessary where the short-term rentals are making it an overheated real estate market even more difficult would be for home buyers and renters." Wait a minute. You know, it's interesting is what people say. Supporters of the crackdown said it is necessary in a city where short-term rentals are making an overheated real estate market even more difficult for would-be home buyers and renters. District residents looking to purchase a home will no longer be competing with investors who seek to list them on lucrative short-term rental platforms. D.C. Council member Kevin R. McDuffie, Ward 5, who authored the bill, said in a statement after the vote, "The bill passed after a flurry of late-minute debate among lawmakers over whether it was too restrictive. The council members proposed amendments that would have softened some of the legislation's tougher provisions. Only one of these changes was adopted, a measure allowing homeowners to apply for exemptions from the bill annual cap on the amount of time it can be rented for." Let me reread this. "The bill passed after a flurry of last-minute debate among lawmakers over whether it was too strict. Council members proposed mandates that would have softened some of the legislation with tougher provisions. Only one of these changes was adopted, a measure allowing homeowners to apply, for example, for the bill annual cap on the amount of time it can be rented. D.C. Council member Allen, who introduced the amendment, said it was written to accommodate district residents serving in the military on diplomatic courts who could be called away for long periods unexpectedly. The measure passed, but the council would take it takes effect October 1, 2019. That would give the city the time to create an enforcement and licensing agency and to resolve inconsistencies under which most short-term rentals are technically in violation of zoning regulation. A bill that would affect thousands of D.C. property owners who have turned their home sharing income, as well as tourists and business travelers who use the service to find lodging in the nation's capital. What is the problem? Here it is. Political contacts erupt as city hotel industry struggles to curb Airbnb. That's the problem. Let me drill down on this piece. I drove a taxi cab for 44 years in Washington, D.C. The Uber and Lyft and Sidecar and Pink Mustache and any way you want them, car services that destroyed the traditional taxi cab owner operator system and limo system in the nation's capital and across the United States worldwide, because it's called technology. Now, Airbnb has become the Uber in the hotel business. Ain't it a bitch when it flips on you? Ain't it a B-I-T-C-H when it flips on you? Here, an industry who would give out passes to their customers checking in the hotel, $25 free ride with Uber. You ain't got to get no cab. Go ride Uber. And then they're working for nothing. So it flipped with the Airbnb. Now they want to shut down the Airbnb, but they didn't have no problem with destroying the independent owner operator system all over the United States. You know, his name was Bootsy Collins, and he had a group called Funkadelic in the early 70s. And I was a college student at Morgan State. It was then called college then. But he said that he made a jam called America Eats Its Young. This is the best example of the chickens coming home to roost is this. Now, you want to take away people who cannot stay in their houses any other way and got them properties that they got to fix up and invest in D.C. to fix their stuff up to keep it, but they can't Airbnb it. They got the Section 8 and get it torn up and can't get them anywhere to pay rent, and he can't get them out the property. I mean, man, it's something wrong with this. Now, if you want to join me, because I'm getting ready to get off the airways now, because it's hot up in this studio with the air conditioner on, is out there in the sun. Because I know I just stepped on somebody's toes, but I don't give a cat's rear end. This Airbnb thing is a joke that's not funny. There's no way that the District of Columbia should implement these laws and pull this income away from people in their own
property that they own and they trying to stay in it. I know people, that's the only way they pay their mortgage.
Don't let me get to talking, because I'm just going to make it real, real. This is some real BS, folks. But like I said, you can go to PositiveChangePC.com, click on News and Events, and scroll down. Because if you got property in Washington, D.C. near the subway, I'd move out myself. As much money as they can get, them places can make a month. They're averaging $3,000 to $4,000 a month with a house. And people are getting that with their basement. And you going to take that away from people? Because the hotel association said, oh, you get messing with my money. Nah, man, it's enough to go around. So that's my position here on Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, we hope that we definitely brought you news that you can definitely use. So as we say, we're going in peace. Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.